All right, back in 1953, which I was not around for, in case you were wondering, Elizabeth II was crowned Queen of England. I remember my parents had a commemorative coronation plate with her picture on it, and that was hanging somewhere in our house because my father would sail back and forth from London to New York, and so he brought that home. 70 years later, her son Charles III was crowned king after her death. Charles was 73 years old and was the oldest ever crowned. He was waiting for decades to take over from his mom, but she held on until the very end. How many of you were around for both of those coronations, 1953 and just recently 2023? How many of you were around for 2023? Just to see if you're listening. Okay, you were there. And show me again how many were there for both. Raise your hands proud and high. Awesome. Every 4 years in the United States, we are privileged to take part in voting and then hopefully watching a peaceful transfer of power from one president and one cabinet to the next. The induction of a national leader is a big deal. And it calls for our attention as we think about how that will affect us personally and also nationally. We don't have to wait 73 years for a new leader in our country, but it is important that we're involved in that process. So, what does this have to do with the book of Joshua? Last week, we had an intro in our new sermon series to the book of Joshua, and we are calling this series Strong and Courageous. We saw how God was preparing Joshua for most of his life so that he would be ready to take over as leader of Israel following Moses. Today we will see God's calling, we will see God's commands for Joshua, and then we'll see the response of the people. Would they listen to this new leader? Would they be willing to follow them? Listen also for how this applies to you as a follower of Jesus Christ. So before we read this morning's scripture, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. There are Bibles in the pew in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, you're welcome to take that home with you so that you can be reading God's word on your own. But let's pray before we dig in further to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you that we can be together as brothers and sisters. Thank you for the guests that are here with us for the first time, that are worshiping with us, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, and hearing from your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word and that you communicate to us directly through that. I pray that as we read it, we would be hearers of the word, we will let it sink into our hearts, and then we would be doers also of that word, that it would affect the way we think and the way we act in the week to come. Lord, we lift all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray. Amen. Okay, so last week, we had an overview of Joshua, and this week we are focusing on chapter 1. Listen to the first 6 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." As we saw, God had been preparing Joshua for this moment for many, many years. Joshua served as a commander of the army of Israel under Moses. He humbly served as Moses' assistant, doing whatever was needed. He was sent by Moses as one of the 12 spies to go into the promised land years before. And along with Caleb, he stood up to those 10 other men and said, God has given us this land, let's go. And the other 10, of course, said, it's too scary. The people who live there are like giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can go in. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, what God said is true, so it must be ready for us. Joshua then went through 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, because that was God's punishment for the people. He said, if you don't want to go in, you don't have to. You can wander around for 40 years until you have all died off of natural causes, which was quite gracious in God's case. But he said, your children will inherit the land. And Joshua and Caleb, who stood up for the truth, they stood up for me, they will go in with you. So now God is speaking directly to Joshua, and he tells him that Moses has died. If we remember your Bible history, that's because God brought Moses up into the mountains and he said, look, there's the promised land. You're not going into it, but the people you've been leading will. I will keep all my promises. And it says that Moses died and God buried him there. So the Lord is now telling Joshua, Moses has died. It's time for you to step up. It's time for you to start leading the people of Israel. So God calls Joshua to lead the people over the Jordan River into the promised land. And God reminds Joshua that he's already promised this land, and then God defines it again. I have a map here to just give you a rough idea. It's not exactly that much of a shape. I couldn't draw well on the map. But God describes it from south to north, from east to west. It says, actually, from north to south, from the great river, the Euphrates, which you can see right there. That's the Euphrates River, and it's going all the way up to the top. So that's the northern border. And as the Tigris and the Euphrates meet way down in here, that's the description of where the Garden of Eden was. God talks about those rivers flowing into it. So that's the northern border. The southern border is the land of the Hittites. And then, Lebanon is the south. Euphrates is the north. The Hittites are the western border on the other side of the Jordan. And then he says all the way to the Great Sea where the sun goes down. So he's given them south, north, east, west directions that define the promised land. And the people don't always occupy all of the land. So when you listen to the news today and people are talking about, does this part belong to it? Does Gaza belong? Does this place belong? You can see how big this area is. Israel did not always occupy all of it, but God promised all of that to them. God encourages Joshua that no one is going to be able to stand up against you for your entire life. Wouldn't that be great to walk out the door each day knowing that anyone you face is not going to defeat you? That God is with you every step? Do you know you have that promise? That God is with you? He promises to be with you and never forsake you. He would be with Joshua forever, just as he was with Moses. He would never leave him. He would never forsake him. So God says, be strong and courageous. You will cause the people to finally inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and their fathers and their fathers before them. Last week, we talked about all of those different promises going all the way back to Abraham, then to his son and his son and his grandsons, and the promise continued. And finally, Joshua is the one that is going to lead them into the land, because God has a group of people who are willing to listen. Their parents and the previous generation said, we're afraid, we're not going to go in. And now he has a group of people ready. So what has God called you to do. Jesus' teachings in the Gospels are filled with calls for his followers. When I was a teenager, I believed that I was called into youth ministry, and I thought God wanted me to do that. I answered at a missionary conference. I went forward and said, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do that. And I believed I was ready to go into youth ministry, but by the time I got to my senior year, I started having wobbly feet and thinking, did I really get a call from God? I didn't see anything written in the clouds. There was nothing in my cereal bowl spelling out youth ministry. I was looking for some kind of a sign, not realizing that when God calls and our hearts are ready to respond, then that's all the calling we need. Scripture is filled with calls to believers. We can answer any of them and be confident that God is behind it because this is his word. The first disciples were called, follow me. Leave your fishing boats and follow me. They verbally heard Jesus. So that makes it a little bit easier, right? We think, yeah, if Jesus was standing here and said, why don't you come do this with me? Sure, I would listen. But think about all the people that still didn't listen to Jesus, right? The majority didn't listen. It was those whose hearts were ready to respond. Being a Christian is not just showing up at church once a week. It's a life committed to following Jesus Christ. Have you answered that call? Have you admitted that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior? Jesus is the only Savior. Scripture tells us that clearly. We don't get to make our own way to heaven. We don't get to work our way there, pay our way there. We answer the call. And Jesus said, for anyone who would believe, you have the gift of eternal life. So that's the first call that I would encourage every one of you to answer that call. Then Jesus said, as we saw in communion this morning, take up a cross and follow him. Face whatever difficulties you find along the way. And there are a lot of people who say, yes, I'd like to follow Jesus. But then as soon as something gets hard, they say, oh, I guess not. And we see that they were not real followers. Jesus called us to be salt and light, to point people to him, to be light in the darkness, to be good flavor and saltiness in the world so that people would be drawn to the gospel. Jesus calls us to go into the whole world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey the word. That's what we do in our church. We baptize people who are believers and we teach them to obey God's word. And then they, in turn, can share the gospel with new people. As we saw in the Gospels, Jesus called us to love one another, to also to love our enemies, love the hard-to-love people, to treat others as we would want to be treated. He calls us to choose to be last and to serve others instead of always looking to be served. He calls us to be peacemakers, as Kenzie read for us, to be meek, to be hungry and thirsting after righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be willing to be persecuted for his name. Jesus calls us to give generously, to give privately. He calls us to pray privately and earnestly in faith, knowing that God already knows all of our needs, but he tells us to humble ourselves and bring our requests to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We will know that we've been called because we hear God's word and we're ready to respond to it. We're living our lives, submitting to what God has said. Maybe you're waiting for some big calling in your life. Maybe you're at a crossroads about to move from one career into another or to finish high school and go to college or finish college and go into the next thing. Whatever place you are, if you're looking for a big sign of some big calling, turn to God's word and start answering the little calls. Start answering the everyday things. And as you keep following him and keep doing those things, he's going to lead you into the things that he has ready for you to do. You're not going to find it in the sky. You're not going to find it in your alphabet cereal bowl. You're going to find it by reading his word and saying, I choose to believe this and I choose to follow this. God is going to show you opportunities to serve him. And Jesus said, be faithful first in the little things, and then God will prepare you step by step for more. That's exactly what he did with Joshua. Little by little, he prepared him for the next thing and the next thing. And if you hear about something at church and say, I could never do that. I couldn't be in charge of that. There's too many things going on. There's too much pressure. If God has called you to do something, he's going to equip you and he's going to help you do it. So be ready to say yes instead of saying no. Let's look on into the next set of verses. Joshua 1, 7 to 9. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verse 7, God repeats his encouragement to Joshua again, and now there are some modifiers. God says, only be strong and courageous, or just be strong and courageous. And he says, be very courageous. He's adding that for emphasis. God follows up this encouragement with a very clear command. Don't veer off course. Stay focused on your mission. Don't follow things to the left or to the right. Do exactly what you've been called to do. How many of you struggle like me with staying on task? How many times do I go and click on a browser to look up something and then I get sucked into something else? How many of you do that? I should have like just a plain browser with nothing else in it because I click on it to go to the church website and fix something and all of a sudden something on Facebook will catch my eye or an email that I thought, oh, I need to respond to that and I'm going to the left, I'm going to the right, I'm going all over the place and somehow at the end of the day, I hope that I end up back where I started and have gotten most of those things done. God gives this instruction to Joshua, stay focused. Don't veer off course. Go right down the middle. The result is going to be you'll be successful in whatever you do. Is that a principle we can apply to our lives? Yeah, if you stay focused on what you're supposed to do and you don't go chasing after a whole bunch of other things, you're going to be successful in doing that because you're focused on that thing. My footnote suggests that being successful wherever you go in the earlier languages would have been something like you will act wisely. So not just that you're being prosperous and successful, but you're going to do the right thing. You're going to act wisely because you're staying focused on what God has called you to do. In verse 8, we have another command from God. Don't stop reading and speaking my word. Don't let it leave your mouth, as in keep talking about it. And what was God's word at the time? Just this, right? He had the first five books, the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch. If that was important for Joshua, it's important for us too, right? Keep reading God's word. We know the importance of reading Genesis, the book of beginnings, but also reading these other books and seeing how God prepared people to follow him step by step. That at the time was God's complete revelation. So God says, speak it, read it, and meditate on it so that you will obey it completely. Think about it day and night. When I hear the word meditate, I'd immediately think of someone in a yoga pose mumbling something to themselves and say, oh, we don't do that, right? We don't want to just say some mantra. That's partly right. It does involve repeating words, but it's more like chewing on a piece of gum and just continuing to chew that and getting everything you can out of that piece of gum. So I would encourage you, when you read God's word, don't try to just read an entire book. If it's a short one, that's okay, but read a smaller passage and reread it and dig into it, chew on it, and get everything you can out of it. I think it was Juicy Fruit was the gum that you could chew for like 2 minutes and there was no flavor after that. Do you remember that? Some of those early gums, it would just really quickly, it was just down to a piece of like a rubber band, like, I'm done with this. God's word is not like that. The more you chew it, the more flavor you get from it, the deeper you go as you dig in and say, what does this word mean? And you see where else it shows up in Scripture. You follow those cross references, get a good study Bible, and dig in to God's word. God says, then your way will be prosperous. You're going to achieve your goals and you'll have success. And remember again, when we read God's word, this is not us putting up a picture of a Range Rover on our dream board and saying, if I only do all the right things, I'll get that. That's not what God is saying. He's talking about acting wisely, following his word, and completing what he's called you to do, not that he's going to give you whatever you can imagine. We look to God's word and we follow his directions for our life. And he says, then we will be prosperous, doing what he calls us to do. Then God repeats his encouragement a third time, just as Moses had done with Joshua three times when he chose him to be his successor. Be strong and courageous. Now God repeats it three more times. And this time, he adds a rhetorical question. You know what a rhetorical question is, right? Haven't I commanded you? Didn't I tell you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed or totally shattered in fear. Because the Lord, your God, is with you, Joshua. He was with Moses, and he will be with you wherever you go. What a great encouragement. What a great command and a promise all rolled into one. So this verse is the verse I'd like us to memorize together in this upcoming month. Joshua 1:9. Let's say it together. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. You want to memorize the reference too so you can find it in Scripture and show it to someone. So my suggestion is write this out on a post-it note, put it on an index card, stick it on your mirror, wherever you want to put it. You can use one of those Bible apps that we talked about last time when we were memorizing Ephesians. You will find it posted around the church a couple places, but read it over and over again and it will sink in. And it's one verse for the whole month, so I know you can do it. We'll practice it together. My question is, are you obeying God's commands? Are you in his word? Are you reading it? Are you sharing it with others? Are you spending time meditating, studying it? He promises to be with you every step of the way. And he promises to empower you to do all that he has called you to do. God says, I won't leave you alone. I'm not going to forsake you. How many of you have had a friend ditch you when you needed them? You've gone somewhere and you're ready to do something and then you turn around and you're alone. God says, I will never do that. No matter where you go, I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you unable to do what I've called you to do. So if you've stepped up and answered a call and said, yes, I'll help with that ministry, God is going to equip you to do that well if you're willing to serve. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible when we're following him, when we're seeking to do his will. And then the Apostle Paul repeats this in Philippians 4:13 by saying, I can do all through him who strengthens me. I don't have the power myself to do it all. I don't have the wisdom to answer everything, but my God who is with me will help me do whatever he calls me to do, whatever I need to do. All right, the last couple of verses, verses 10 to 18. There's a lot of details in here, so listen and we'll wrap up with this. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, this is verse 10, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also shall take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So now Joshua is leading. It's faith in action. Joshua, in his book, doesn't give us his verbal response to God's call and command. God called him to be the leader. He commanded him to go prepare the people. And we don't hear him say, yes, Lord, I'm your man. I believe your promises. I'll be careful to obey your word. I'll read it. I'll learn it. I'll meditate on it. Yes, I'll be strong and courageous. I will lead your people. We don't hear Joshua say that. But even louder is his action. Verse 10 says, and Joshua commanded the people. His actions speak louder than words could. His faith is out there for everyone to see. He tells the people exactly what God told him, and he says, let's go. James 2 tells us that our faith without action is dead. It's just talk. James said, show me your faith by your actions. Do something, and then I'll know that you're a follower of God. And that's exactly what Joshua does. Do you remember Moses' response to God's call to lead the people? I can't do it. I don't even speak very well. Send somebody else. What about my brother? Right? He's trying to get somebody else to do it. Joshua doesn't say a word. He just goes and obeys. Wouldn't you love that from your kids? You tell them to do something, and before you could say, did you hear me? They're already doing it. Listen up, kids. Obey your parents. When your teachers call you to do something, do it. Don't argue about it. If you need clarification, ask a question, but do it. That's what God is telling us to do. Show your belief. Show your faith in your actions. Joshua begins to lead the people. He's been chosen by God. He's been mentored by Moses. He's been called by God, commanded by God. And now he steps into that role as leader, fully equipped and ready to obey God's commands. In verse 10, Joshua commands the officers. Back in Deuteronomy 16, God told Moses, there are a lot of people. We think there are 1 million+ people at that point. And Moses is getting worn out trying to solve everybody's problems. So by his father-in-law's instructions, he commands officers and judges tribe by tribe so that there are leaders to help the people. So that's who Moses goes to. He goes to those leaders and he tells them, we're getting ready to enter the promised land. God is going to help us cross the Jordan River. So gather your provisions, get food, get water, because within the next 3 days, we're going to cross the Jordan River. He doesn't tell them this afternoon we're doing it. He gives them a little time to get ready, which is really kind. Get everything ready because within 3 days we are going to do this. And don't forget why we're doing this. For 40 years they had been wandering through the wilderness. They were following God's glory, right? They had the cloud during the day and the fire at night showing that God's presence was with them. And when God was ready to move them, he moved ahead of them and they caught up. They just kept following wherever God said to go. This is not just another one of those trips in the wilderness. Now we're ready to follow God and we're going into the promised land to possess it. We're going to own it. And it's a gift from God. God's already given it to us. All we have to do is go in and take it. Verses 12 to 15 are kind of odd. They give specific details to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. All the way back in Numbers chapter 32, those tribes said, "We kind of like it here on the east side of the Jordan. Would it be okay if we stay here?" And God said, "Yes, as long as you promise to help Israel fight the enemy in the rest of the promised land, then you can have this." God keeps his word. So he says, "Your women and your children and your livestock can all stay on the east of the Jordan, but I want you armed and ready for battle. You're going to cross over ahead of everybody and be in the promised land. And when we have peace on every side, when we fought all of our battles, then you can go back and you can inherit the land that I gave you earlier." And they said, "Yes, we will go. Just as we followed and obeyed Moses, we will follow and obey you." They even offered Joshua a blessing. "May the Lord God be with you, just as he was with Moses." In verse 18, the people respond also with a warning to the rest of the people. So I believe this is the commanders who just got this charge, and they say, "Okay, folks, we're getting ready to do this, but if anyone disobeys Joshua and doesn't listen to God's commands, they will be executed. They're going to lose their lives. So this is serious business, everybody. Are you listening? We're going to obey and listen to what God says through our leader. Don't mess this up." Their parents and their grandparents, that previous complaining generation that went before them, not only complained about Moses on a regular basis, but they disobeyed God's commandments. So this new generation is saying, "We're not going to be like that. We want to follow you, God. We believe you. We're going to follow Joshua, and we are staking our lives on it. We're going to make sure that everyone is on board and following you." And they end with this encouragement again: "Be strong and courageous." Let's go. It's like that was their rallying cry. Be strong and courageous. I'm imagining they had banners with that written on it, and they were waving them around. We now know that a successful transfer of leadership has happened because the new leader is committed to the people, and they are fully behind him. They're ready to obey and listen. They're going to follow Joshua. Just because your parents or grandparents are here in the church doesn't mean that you're saying, "I'm ready to follow." Each new generation needs to make their own decision to follow God, to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. There are no grandchildren of God, right? It says, when you've trusted Jesus, you will become my sons and daughters. Their children are not automatically sons and daughters. Every generation has to listen to the gospel and respond to it. So if you haven't done that for yourself, we have our young people with us today. If you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, today could be that day. Talk to me afterwards. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. We want to know that you have followed that commandment yourself, that you've said, "I want to follow Jesus." A couple of takeaway questions. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? This is a decision for every person to make. If you haven't done that, like I said, you can come talk to me afterwards, talk to a Sunday school teacher, talk to somebody, so you know that you're a follower of Jesus. Next question is, if you are already a follower, are you actually obeying him? Are you following him? Does your life look more and more like Jesus as you are focused on him and saying, he's my role model. He's the one I want to look like. Not a football hero, not a Fortune 500 CEO. I don't want to look like the most popular person. I want to look like Jesus. Am I changing the way I speak, the way I act? Am I letting God's Spirit slowly chip away at all of the me that needs to go so that people see Jesus? When we glorify him, we're reflecting his character. People see him. That's what we want to do. Are you willing to stand up for Christ and do the right thing? Joshua was willing to stand up in a group that outnumbered him 10 to 2, 6 to 1. 5 to 1. Bad math. Sorry, I didn't look at Cindy first. Are you willing to stand up against the rest of the crowd when they say, let's go do this, and it's the wrong thing to do? Are you willing to say, no, that's not what Jesus would do. I'm not going to do that. I want to stay true to him. Don't be frightened. Don't be anxious. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Like I said, this is not only a promise, but it's a commandment. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Because God is with you wherever you go. Turn to him. Meditate on his word. Read it. Chew on it. Study it. Live it out. And don't be afraid because the Lord is with you. Mark's going to come. We're going to sing a closing song. I hope you'll stay, not only for coffee and refreshments downstairs, but come hear what Jeff has to tell us about EBI. And kids, you've got exciting Sunday school classes as well. I don't see my basket here. But if you took notes and you want to come up and show me your notes, kids, you have a prize waiting for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you again that we could be together in your house. Thank you that we could lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that we could remember your awesome sacrifice on the cross, that you would be willing to give up your own life for us. Not when we were on your side, not when we were ready to follow you, but when we were still sinners, when we were still enemies of God, Scripture says, Christ died for us. Thank you that we can respond to the gospel, that we can trust in Jesus as our Savior, that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. We can know that we have a place waiting for us in eternity. We can have new life in Jesus Christ if we only believe. Thank you for the example of Joshua and his courage to stand up and answer the call to follow you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us each as we answer that call to take another step and another step following you each and every day. May God, the Father of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.